there's like a very predictable cycle that people go on. Men become successful, and as their partner ages, they become less attractive, and so they end up splitting. The guys become more valuable over time, and based on traditional standards of what people are valued for, men are valued for access to resources, women are valued for beauty. So I'm like, we are on like opposite paths. I'm going to grow more valuable to the average woman, and you're going to grow less valuable to the average man. So what I need you to understand is I don't prize that. What I prize in you is a shared life. There's no way to do that. It's the only thing that can be, it has to be.
There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread. So here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty-calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's the kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co.
Done in real time. You can't short circuit that. So I'm telling you right now, not only do I love you, not only am I on fire for you sexually, and I respect you, but I am committed to you. And so it's that commitment that gives us a bond. And that shit is like fire, man. That's how a relationship ages well, because like you're raw, you're vulnerable. You open yourself up completely.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes. Call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily, you got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's gotta have her standards. Oh, my.
Do women know about shrinkage?
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God, I feel so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, check out sexwithemily.com. Find us on all social media. It's at Sex with Emily across the board. It's a good time. All right, guys, enjoy the show. I'm so excited to welcome my guest, Tom Bilyeu. He's a friend, and he's also awesome. So he's a co-founder of one of the fastest growing companies, like in its time, Quest Nutrition. And now he's the founder of Impact Theory, and I've gone down the Impact Theory rabbit hole this week, I'll tell you that. And his business is all about essentially improving your mindset. And it just wants to be the most empowering place on earth, which we're going to talk about that in a minute. And it actually is, you guys. Like, I met him and his wife. His wife's a good friend. And I was like, how is this really real that they're that happy, that cool, that inspiring, and they're changing the world? And it's all real. He's super inspiring and super driven, and I've learned a lot from him. And I'm excited that you're here, Tom. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
And I want to tell my listeners another thing that I feel like what I've gotten from you is that, like, your show Impact Theory, which has impacted millions of people. People can find it wherever you listen to things, watch things, YouTube, at Impact Theory. And this is all on our show notes. If you go to sexwithemily.com, you can find more about Tom. But I feel like a lot of what you talk about is that, you know, is that we can make anything happen. We are kind of blank slates.
I wouldn't say that.
You wouldn't say we're blank slates.
I would say we're not blank slates.
We're not blank slates. But you would say that It's about we can make a lot of things happen. That a lot of us are kind of lazy and we could fix our mindsets.
That I will aggressively agree
with. Not blank slates. Yeah. Right. And I actually saw you flip on that with your thing. So I got it. We're not blank slate. Maybe. Okay. Let's just talk about our mindsets for a minute, because yes. I feel that a lot of what happens on the show too is that people call in, and this is why I'm interested, is because we like, so a lot of our listeners call in and their relationship with people and their partner, usually there's one person in a relationship that wants to work and wants to grow, have a growth mindset,
yes.
which is a big part of what you talk about. And then there's another, I'm like, for example, I'm really trying to get my partner to go to therapy and they won't get to therapy, or I've lost a ton of weight and I've gotten healthy and my partner won't. And I feel like I always say, well, go to therapy and do these different things and talk about it. Like, well, my partner just won't talk about it. And so I feel like you're someone who you weren't like born with this mindset. You weren't born like, you know, achieving all the things that you have. In fact, you know, can you talk about your start of impact theory, why you started, how you started it, and where your mindset was then?
I can. How brief do you want that? Because it is a story that starts when I was 18, but I can tell it in a very quick description.
I think you could do a quick description.
All right. I'll give it to you. This is an ultra
fast thumbnail.
But
I'll let you know.
If you want to drill in, just
I will drill in. So let's give me a little, and then we'll drill in.
All right. So I've worked in the inner cities a lot. And working in the inner cities, you realize that there are extraordinary people in the inner cities who will do nothing with their life because they don't have the right frame of reference. So their mindset is such, their belief system is such, their values are such that even though they are as extraordinary as, you know, the next person who's done amazing things with their life, they won't. And your zip code is the greatest predictor of your future success, more so than your IQ, because frame of reference really, really matters. And I used to ask people back at Quest, we were growing so fast, I was interviewing people around the clock. We were in manufacturing, so I had literally about 1,000 employees that grew up hard as hell on the streets, inner cities, gang members, former drug dealers, been to prison, that kind of thing. And I asked them this magic genie question to find out like what they really wanted. And the answer to what they really wanted was basically $1 million. And I had asked that question over and over and over. And I thought, this is a magic genie, man. Like, how the hell are you going to ask for $1 million? Like, ask for $1 trillion or right. a money printing machine. And the fact that they were all saying the same number was really weird to me. And I was like, why don't they just ask for an unimaginably large amount of money? And I realized they were. And to them, $1 million was an unimaginably large amount of money, even though you can't buy a house in LA. And so it just got me thinking right. about frame of reference and how their dreams were small because of the way that they were raised. And they were told, you know, you're never going to do anything. I mean, it's crazy. Like, even their own parents would say things like, the world doesn't want someone like you to succeed. It's like, imagine your parent telling you that. So they just get set up for failure. And because they weren't thinking big enough, it really charted the course for their life. So I started asking, no BS, what would it take for them to change their mindset? Because I had changed my own mindset. So I had gone from, you know, struggling and feeling lost and frustrated and hopeless and sliding towards depression to learning about the brain, understanding mindset. Unfortunately, I didn't have Carol Dweck's seminal work Mindset to go by, so I had to fumble my way through all this. But realizing that I had this sort of innate belief that my talent and intelligence were fixed traits and there was nothing I could do about it. And then I realized that actually that's not true. And even though we're not blank slates,
right.
the amount that you can change is really extraordinary.
It is, right. Okay, so the thing is, though, when you said, so what I want to understand is, like, Tom Bilyeu, when did your mindset, because you said that they're, you know, they had limiting beliefs or they had things that happened to you, and you said that when you were, like, was it 18, your mom was like, you're 17, you're not going to amount to anything, and you won't be successful. And
well, she didn't tell me that, thankfully, until I had already succeeded, but she was thinking it. So
she was like, he's never going to make it, this kid.
Literally.
But then, so you've said things, because I pulled this, I thought, you're a guy who because I think everyone on the planet needs to do their work, and I think when I say that, they're like, what do you mean by work? But I feel like you seem like this guy, and a quote from you is that you said you felt you were weak and emotionally soft.
Yes.
And now you've learned, like, that was not the way you had to stay stuck. And so I'm wondering about that process. Like, when were you? Does that mean you're still not emotionally stuck? Like, do you feel like, is it always the struggle? But let's start with you and your mindset then and how you got to where you are now.
Yeah. So I think that emotional rock bottom can be a very powerful thing. And so I graduated from college and I felt like a failure. It's a long story, but I felt like a failure. I was sliding towards depression. I was broke. I had no idea how to make something of my life. And I started reading about the brain, and I'm beyond grateful that I did that. And in the late 90s, it was a hot debate as to whether you could teach an old dog new tricks. Is brain plasticity real? Are we blank slates? Are we not? And I just decided to believe that we could change. And so that ended up, it's what I call now the only belief that matters. And if you believe that you can change, then you'll put energy and effort into getting better. So I thought, well, I don't feel good where I'm at now. I can tell I'm really going into a dark place. So the only way out of that was to believe I could improve and that I could one day be so good that I could be successful. And I needed to believe that. So that put me on a path to just improvement. So what I would now call deliberate practice, I didn't have that phrase back then, but like you can get good at anything you set your mind to. It's going to be hard as hell, but you can do it. So it was a very long trajectory, but that was the beginning.
So this is my question though. Like, does this mean, because I've been watching you, you know, through your work that like you say things, you have your new, so Tom, you guys, you got to check, you're also going to go down the rabbit hole of Tom Bilyeu. So check it out, and they could just Google on YouTube right now.
They can.
But don't do it now because you want to listen to the interview, but it's Impact Theory. But you also have your conversations with Tom now, which are a little bit longer episodes. But what I heard you say in there was like, well, I'm stupid. I don't know anything. So I can relate to that because I say that often. Like I don't, in various forms, I'm hard on myself where I'm like, oh God, I don't know things, or I have imposter syndrome, or I feel dumb, but then I know that I'm smart. And they're like old messages. And then when I hear you say, I'm like, well, Tom thinks that too, but what about his mindset? And maybe you're just, so I'm wondering, do you still have this thing in you? I'm curious that you're still some days like, no, I kind of suck, or every day you're like, I've done the best I can. I'm great. You know, does it ever really go away? That's what I'm saying.
The negative voice won't go away. And I think that's okay. And I think people need to understand there's an evolutionary reason that you have the negative voice. So the key is to play the mental jujitsu. So I think the one thing I don't do is ask the sort of fundamental question, which is, can I get better? So I will often say, dude, I'm spastic at this. I'm so bad at this. It's crazy. But I immediately ask myself, well, do you want to get good at it, or do you need to get good at it? Because if you do, you can put the energy into it. And then that becomes the real frustration. You can do anything you want, but not everything you want.
Right.
And so you have to prioritize. But if I say something like, oh, I'm so stupid or whatever, I'm probably just tongue in cheek because that doesn't hold power over me anymore.
Right.
So I don't have any fear of saying something like that.
Right. Right. No, it was more like, well, I'm bad at everything. It's something. I don't know. I just feel like, I don't feel like you're walking around feeling stupid, but I'm wondering with if there's just, you know, parts of you like this in the mindset that you ever, for example, like I know when you started Impact Theory, there was a point where you were going to quit, right? And Lisa, his beautiful, wonderful, amazing wife, who I adore, we're going to party in Vegas next weekend. Anyway, back to you. That she talked to you, but you were going to quit. And I'm wondering, why would Tom Bilyeu not want to do Impact Theory anymore?
Well, so it was actually a story of when we started doing the interview show. Back then it was called Inside Quest. And that was just a business decision. I was looking at it and I said, look, I'm to really break through in this. I would have to be the best. I'm not the best. It's going to be a long road to getting good. I don't know if there's enough business logic to doing it. And she said, whoa, whoa, whoa. She said, this is really going to impact people. You're going to do this for a year. If at the end of the year, you're not good enough to warrant it anymore, and we're not growing, then fine, you can quit. But she could really see the long-term vision of it, where I was just focused on like the business logic behind it. And she could see something bigger. And of course, that something bigger ends up becoming, we shift our entire focus to the mind and
So that was the shift to the mind, just the mind, because it's amazing what you guys have built. So you guys talk a lot about, so I was watching also you guys, because Lisa, when I was on her, so Lisa's got a show called Women of Impact. They're all great. All the impacts, Women of Impact. I was on her show and I didn't know her at the time. I met you both. Like I was at your house. It was so fun. I was there. I went there to shoot. To be on another podcast, like the Mind Pump podcast.
That's right.
Yeah.
I forgot this the first time.
And you guys are like, I don't know where I'm going. They're like, here's the address. And then you guys are walking through the house and you're like this lovely couple, like energy. You can just tell. We were talking about this earlier. Like, you just know if you're going to like people or not, right? Do you feel that way? Like in life, energy.
It is terrifying how fast you can thin slice somebody.
Especially the more I'm like energy. Like I went out with someone the other night. Like why didn't you like her? I had a new like a friend date. It's like last week. And like, well, what'd you think? I'm like, she's cool. Like, I liked her. Like, there was nothing wrong. They're like, well, are you going to be I'm like, no, it wasn't like a, like when I met your wife, it was like, oh, we were like, oh my God, we should hang out and be friends. So anyway, we met at your house and we went up to, why was I even talking about that? Where was I going on my train of thought? Oh, when we met you with Lisa, together. Oh, and then I went on her podcast. I met you guys there. Then she was like, come to do my show. And it was like, oh my God, it was this amazing set, your house. Like, you guys are serious about your business. And everyone who works there is like, it literally is the happy. We're going to get to his vision for starting the next Disney. Not just the happiest place on earth, but I'll tell you what it is. But it feels like that, the environment there. So anyway, on it, I didn't realize, and then I was on her show, and then I didn't realize that she came on my show, and I realized the way she talked about your relationship, because she was just coming on to talk about women and what she was doing, but she was like, well, Tom and I, we have this way of talking about things. Like, girl, you should be on my, you just come on and be like the resident, like married, been in a 19-year relationship yeah. woman who actually like, and then at first I met her, I was like, in my brain, I'm like, could they be this happy? Do they really? And they do. Like they do. You guys have really built solid communication and it hasn't been easy. It wasn't like everything was handy. You work together, you live together, you have all these employees and things that have happened. And so I'd love to like talk about that for a minute. So what, how has that progressed, your communication style? And what can we share with our listeners who often don't have that? You guys are a couple that I know that legit does the work. And it's not that it's perfect, but you've, you know, figured out how to.
Yeah, for sure. So this all goes back to my mom. So I did not have game with women when I was young. So let's start with that.
Okay.
And my mom gave me a really good tip. I was probably 14 or 15. And she said, look, if you want to give a woman an orgasm, it's all about trust. And I was like, trust?
What? Your mom?
Like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And she was, trust me, my mom was not encouraging me to have sex. My mom was a psycho about me not having sex okay. until I was older. But it was like one of those key pieces of advice that cut through to my soul. Because let me tell you, as a teenage boy, you can't fathom that that's true. That's so far from your experience where it's like purely visual. It's like there's a almost like aggressive quality to it. And so she was like, oh, it's all about trust. And I was like, what the hell? And so
but
that
did you
put
know
me,
what an orgasm was at 14?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, got
of course.
It.
Of course.
Porn. Right. Okay.
Well, unfortunately, I grew up at a time where, well, maybe fortunately, because I graduated high school. I'm not sure I would have if I had access to internet porn. But I didn't have access to that kind of stuff. But, I mean, of course, as a 14-year-old boy, you find your penis pretty early.
Yeah,
so.
But not orgasm. Okay, so anyway, keep going.
Yeah,
orgasm.
So.
I didn't know what it was until I was 21.
That really?
For,
that can't be true.
I never.
What is happening right now?
I don't know. This is why I'm here, right?
What?
Talk about my issues. Yeah.
Wow.
Anyway, I was like having sex, and I was like, hello, what's the big deal? Not interesting to me. My friends were like, don't you orgasm? Don't you masturbate? I was like, what the hell are those? I had no idea.
Wow.
I know.
So.
That's when I go on your show and talk about sex, which you haven't done yet. You haven't talked about sex enough on your show.
Yeah, that is definitely something we've not gone deep on.
Okay.
So anyway, she gives me this key insight and I start realizing I need to, if I want to get laid, I need to start understanding women.
Okay.
And it didn't work, by the way. That is actually a bad strategy when you're that young because you need to project confidence. So I wasn't. I was getting like even like more soft and more like feminine.
You can trust
my communication
me. I'll carry
style.
Your books
yeah,
and I won't drop them.
Terrible strategy. Which is a whole nother conversation. But anyway, it gets me reading about communication and all that. So it made me a better husband. It just did not make me good at that initial stage of attraction.
Okay.
So anyway, I finally figure out how to actually attract women, but I didn't forget how to communicate. So with Lisa, it was like, hey, I'm interested in one woman for the rest of my life. So when we got together, I actually said, like, I'm either never getting married or I'm marrying this woman. She is the only woman I've ever said I love you to. Like, it's like a whole thing. So we get together and I'm like, look, I want to be married to you. And that's going to be that. And this is going to take work. And so that was so self-evident to me that like, it won't happen by accident. Neurochemistry changes over time. So I think by then a study had come out that showed that if you take someone who's just done a bump of cocaine and put them in an fMRI machine and take someone who thinks about their newly found lover, and you can't tell the difference on a brain scan. It's all dopamine. It's the reward centers. It's craving. It's like all this crazy shit. And I thought, okay, so I know that ends. Nobody stays there. And if you're the kind of person that just needs that high, that next high, you're just like a drug addict.
Right.
But, you know, sex or love
yeah,
is your drug
same
of choice.
Thing. Yeah.
So I was like, all right, let us not fall prey to that. So I have this whole belief that if something is predictable, then you should be able to avoid the negative consequences of it. So it was just so predictable that our relationship would change over time. So we talked a lot about like, how do you grow together? How do you age well together? And so I was like, look, women are prized for their beauty. So let me just tell you right here and now, one day you're going to be ugly. You're going to be fucking wrinkles and skin and bone. And that is the truth of where you're headed. And I was like,
how old were you at this point when you had this conversation with her?
24.
See, look at this. That's amazing that you had that. Just from two things.
All you have
from
to do is read. Read.
Well, people don't read.
Read like literally every secret you've ever wanted to know has been written in a book.
Yeah.
These days it's in a YouTube video.
Yeah.
or a Sirius XM radio show.
Exactly.
Like, people just need to drink in the information.
Yeah.
So it's all out there. So it just comes down to what
young
you want.
Tom at 24 says you might not. Okay.
Now, Tom was also stupid at 24. So let's not get too clappy here.
No, okay. I get it.
I was full of moronic behavior. But just in this one, I definitely set myself up well. So we communicated a lot. And I said, look, I want you to understand there's like a very predictable cycle that people go on. Men become successful, and as their partner ages, they become less attractive, and so they end up splitting. The guys become more valuable over time, and based on traditional standards of what people are valued for, men are valued for access to resources, women are valued for beauty. So I'm like, we are on like opposite paths. I'm going to grow more valuable to the average woman, and you're going to grow less valuable to the average man. So what I need you to understand is I don't prize that. What I prize in you is a shared life. There's no way to do that. It's the only thing that can be, it has to be done in real time. You can't short circuit that. So I'm telling you right now, not only do I love you, not only am I on fire for you sexually, but, and I respect you, but I am committed to you. And so it's that commitment that gives us a bond. And that shit is like fire, man. That's how a relationship ages well, because like you're just, you're raw, you're vulnerable. You open yourself up completely. And you say, even though I understand the neurochemistry, I will always find, have you seen those, the who women find attractive, the age group women find attractive, the age group men find attractive?
But yeah.
This is so
older,
crazy. Yeah. For people that have never seen this before, I want you to understand. Women find guys attractive that are within 2 years of their age, no matter where they're at. Okay, so if they're 40, then they find a guy from like 38 to 42 attractive. So there's like that 4 year window. Mm-hmm. For a guy, it is always, no matter what age they are, it's always 22.
Right.
I was like, that's fucking crazy. Like, as a woman, 22. That shit would be terrifying.
Right.
So
now,
I was like,
now we're all terrified. Now.
Well, no.
Thanks for reminding us all.
Here is what
people
you have to do.
People are driving their cars off the road.
You need
it's
to have
cool
the conversation.
Time.
Because if you can predict it and discuss it, then you can avoid the stupidity of it. So I just said, look, I will always find a 22-year-old attractive, but I'm going to share a life with you. And so I don't want you to be paranoid that you're going to age. Now, look, she's 40 and fucking
Dude,
hot
she's
as hell.
Hot.
But she's going to be 80 one day. And barring some like magical breakthrough, she will be wrinkly as the day is long. So I needed her to know the thing that is intoxicating to me is a shared experience, to share this life with somebody.
But that's your, okay, so this is the thing, because I would love every single person listening, men going, yes, it's not about beauty anymore. It's about, because what you're talking about is shared experiences, but also just communication, connection, having a plan, discussing your values.
And
making
rad
sure your
to each
sex,
other.
Being, yeah, treating each other really well, learning how to fight, you know, smart, communicate well. So many people are not, well, that's why, you know, I will always have a job here. Like, people just don't know. And they're like, oh, well, that 22-year-old looks great because my wife and I have never communicated about these things ever. And she's, you know, that they just don't even have what you're saying. So I feel like I would love that to get into the mind of people, but they're thinking like, hey, but every woman's attractive. I actually don't even, how could they, it just seems impossible to tell people you can't, you, that you will choose that over beauty, that you will choose longevity. Like, I would love that. How could, what
here's,
kind of campaign
here's
could
the
we
good
start?
News. A very easy one. Ready? You
yes,
can always trust
Tom.
People to be selfish.
Yes.
So if you want to be a good partner, then you want to make that person feel better about themselves when they're around you than when they're not. And let me tell you, people would be true to that. It does not matter like how hot the next person is. It's like if all they have to offer is carnal experience. And look, there are going to be some people that they just haven't done the work to get beyond that. And so they're stuck in sort of that loop of it's a drug-like loop. So you have to be good enough to recognize when somebody's stuck there. But like if the way that Lisa makes me feel is supported, is loved, like I'm fucking seen in like the Avatar way. Like I see mm-hmm. you, motherfucker. I know your weaknesses. I know the things that you're insecure about, and I'm here for you. I'm with you, and I'm not with you because you've pulled the wool over my eyes. I've seen you at your worst,
right?
And I'm still here. Like that shit.
That's what we dude. All want, I think. We're all nodding in here. But what I have to say is what I would love, Tom, and I guess this is what you do with all the really impressive body of work that you've created in the last few years with Impact Theory, is that like what I want is for people to, because like you just said, a lot of people don't do the work. And we all know like there is an epidemic. And again, I hate to use gender here, but many men don't grow up until forever. Or
why
women.
Do you hate to use gender?
I hate to be like, because people call it heteronormative relationships. I hate to say that it's always men and always women.
Can I really piss people off for a second?
Uh-huh.
This is the very thing that made me realize that we are not blank slates. Read the book, A Billion Wicked Thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
It will change you forever.
Okay.
It is so crazy. It shows so they've been trying to study sex forever, right? To really like understand what people are into. But of course you're going to lie. So even if I tell you I'm the experimenter and I tell you, don't worry, this is all completely private. It's anonymous. No one's ever going to know it was you.
No,
people
never.
Still lie.
Yeah.
So you just couldn't get a good read on like who was into what. And then these two Google engineers realize, wait a second, people search for porn all day, every day. And we can tie it back to gender and all kinds of things, socioeconomics, all that. So why don't we look at, it's anonymous, but why don't we look at this data and see what people are really into? And the book is a detailed account of how fucking different men and women are. It is crazy.
Sexually we are. Yeah, it's true. In our brains.
Yes.
That is true. I just feel like you get it. You don't get it. In relationships, people...
I think if you don't understand how different people are,
let me just say, going back to my point, is that typically, it is, I feel that at this point, and what we hear is that more so men than women, that a lot of friends I have, people call in, they're responsible for the mental health of their partners getting there. Like, I just wish he would open up. He won't go to therapy. He has never cried. He hasn't dealt with his mommy issues. Now he's like drinking too much, or like he just literally, like all my friends, these are like, because my close friends have been married for 10, 15 years, and they're just exhausted. And it's like, there's just men, and I have many close guy friends now in their 40s, 50s, and I feel like I've known them for 20, 30 years, like friends from San Francisco, wherever I grew up with. There's just some, I'm like, at this point, they're not going to do the work. Like, it's not even interesting. Like, people have been telling them, like, every woman they've broken up with has probably said, like, go to therapy, and they just won't do it. And so I'm wondering, like, I want Tom, just like, you to go talk to men about this stuff. Cause, like, how do you get them there? Like, what would be the hook? Cause I'm saying, go to therapy, feel your feelings, things are blocked. But how do you get men? Like, is it the growth mindset that you guys talk about? Cause you talk a lot about that on your show, and that is kind of self improvement. Mm-hmm. I kind of like the way you say that. Maybe growth mindset is better than being like, go to therapy, go to Tom's university. Cause do you know these guys?
Of course.
Right?
And
Are you just hanging out with the people who are more...
Sure, of course. I attract a certain kind of person.
Yeah.
So my friends are not going to be the more typically...
But you know what I'm
talking
about.
Thing. Of course.
Yeah.
But so here's the bad news. I've taken a lot of flack for this because I'm so fucking cavalier about it. But the reality is you cannot want it for somebody. If they're not going to do the work, that's on them.
Right.
Do not waste your time and energy trying to convince somebody who has no interest in being convinced. So
they'll never get there. Like they...
Maybe, like they might get there, maybe
on their
something.
Own, but not because we asked them to.
100%. Look, I'm willing to accept that we can literally do anything that doesn't violate the laws of physics, but some things are going to take so much time and energy, you have to ask, why am I investing that much time and energy into doing that? Like, for instance, if we really had to change a guy, have you ever seen the movie The Game?
Yeah.
Okay, and they do this elaborate hoax that goes on for like a year or something, and they finally get this guy to essentially commit suicide, right? But they save him with an airbag, right. And it's like, oh, you finally learned your lesson. So you could go to those extremes, and maybe it would work, but it's like, God, is it really worth it? So I get it. That this is like me at my most typically masculine. I'm just like, I don't have time for that shit.
Right.
Like, if somebody's not willing to do the work, that's on them.
Well, that's it. So, because I was thinking when I started asking about when you said that you were like weaker and emotionally you weren't as evolved, it sounds to me like you pretty much, it was more about the confidence stuff or working on mindset, but you always had sort of an emotional compass.
Yeah. Well, how about I use different language?
Please.
I have always been very in touch with my feminine side.
Yeah.
And when you don't understand masculine energy and feminine energy and what's attractive, then you find yourself in trouble, because I have had some ridiculous missed opportunities because I was not approaching it with confidence. I was being feminine and more withdrawn and like, oh God, it literally is making me cringe inside to even talk about this right now. So it's like to do that set me up to have a skill set that was very powerful as a husband. But I could never get to that stage without first realizing, no, you have to like toughen the fuck up. You've got to like get strong and centered, and you've got to be able to step into confidence and all of that. And then it was like, whoa, I could actually attract women. Yeah, that was like a game changer for me.
We're going to take a quick break, and we come back even more with Tom Bilyeu. Tom Bilyeu from Impact Theory. If you've been liking what you've been hearing, you could go to Impact Theory University.
Yes.
They could take, they could.
We have two courses, all, yeah.
Could mindset, we send business. Men there?
So
the men listening, can we, they could go there and then maybe you could be like, dude, like teach them the things that you learned to want to open up and be a man?
That is literally the idea, is to give people the things that they need to do to get their mind in a place where whatever their goal is, they're able to accomplish it. And you have to have clarity, though. So the guy's going to have to know what he wants. Like in a relationship, you have to know what you want.
But see, what are your tools for that, for knowing what you want? I think that we all walk around literally just dating random people and no one actually knows what they want.
Correct.
I've been working on that with my team here. I'm like, why are you dating? Like, if we just had a plan, then it wouldn't be so random. Like, you would just be like, that is a deal breaker and I'm out. So this can help with that at your university.
Yeah, no question. We don't talk specifically about
relationships.
But
we will.
Getting your, yeah. Ooh.
I'll be an emeritus.
Would you teach a class?
Yeah, totally.
Oh my God, that would be amazing.
Yes, dude.
That would
I
be the greatest
it.
Thing ever.
I'm in. Right. Okay.
Beautiful.
It could be like a graduate degree.
Have, yes.
Yeah. And then I'll teach a sex class, of course.
Obviously.
Right,
I love it the most.
Next, got it. Okay. We haven't gotten to your sex life yet, but we will. Okay, so let's talk about the, because I think what we're talking about then is, and you guys can find this all at impacttheory.com.
Yeah. Impacttheory.com. Nice and easy.
You're going to love it. Your sites, they have to do everything. I kind of had like production envy the first time I went to their house. I was like, all the things, it's just all well done. Well done.
Thank you. That's
okay,
all Lisa, by the way.
See, I love that wife.
Dude, that chick is
I know,
fire.
Dude. There's like literally no one like your wife. Amazing. See, she was someone I knew. I knew them. I fell in love with your wife the moment I met her.
Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
Like, you know how people say, oh, she's my better half. Lisa is my better 80%. Like, for real. It's crazy.
No, I
she
yeah.
is
I mean,
legit
I'm not saying I,
in the extreme.
I
so
know.
First of all, she grew up in a really traditional household. So when we met, she was like on a housewife track. And
yeah.
that was going to be her thing. And then like, 9 years into our marriage, 10 years into our marriage, something like that. She was like, actually, you know what? I want to be an entrepreneur. And I was like, whoa, this is a changeup. That was
like,
actually the hardest thing we ever went through. 1,000%. She used to make my lunches, my dinners, set my clothes out for me, everything. And she was like, I'm going to stop all of that and I'm going to become an entrepreneur. And that was some shit. Like, that wasn't easy to process through. And so it all came down to, all right, how gross is it if you tell your wife to be less than she wants to be because you want her to like take care of you? I was
yeah.
like, okay, I can't do that. So I was like, I'm going to empower you, whatever you want. Like, let's fucking do it. And watching her blossom into the human that she is now has been insane.
I can't even imagine her. I mean, I've seen all of her Instagrams and her posts. I mean, she's told me her stories, but like, she's really, that's amazing. But you guys were able to change together and
yes.
grow. So when you said that was really hard for you, because I think a lot of people can also relate to people changing in relationships. I think this is why it often doesn't work. You're with someone for a long time. We are always going through changes. But how, like, what did that look like? Was it like, you were upset for a day that no one was going to do your laundry, make lunches? Was it a month? Was it a year of transition?
A lot less than a year. It was like subtle. So it's not like she said, let's sit down. I want to tell you my new life goal is to be an entrepreneur, right? So it started with, hey, I just need some help. Can you like ship these protein bars off? You know, it'll be super minor. And then it was like, it just was escalating a little bit. And I'm like, hey, do you still want to keep doing this? She's like, yeah, actually, I really like being involved. And she started stepping into it. And it was like, whoa, you're actually really good at this. And then it was like kind of startling how good she was. And then she was like, look, I'm so busy doing this now. It's basically a full-time job. I'm not going to be able to do that stuff. And I was like, yeah, of course. And then I was like, oh, this actually kind of sucks.
Right.
And so you're like, ooh, do I want an ultra ambitious wife? I'm not sure if I do. And so then you start talking through it. And she's like, because we had like a really simple relationship. It was like your typical,
wow.
like, I don't want to say 1950s, but was like,
wow.
Look, I
can't even
and,
imagine her with an apron taking cookies out of the oven.
Dude,
like, I just can't.
Rightly so.
Yeah.
But that is legit where she started. So it was, I said, I want to work. You're going to stay home. You're going to raise the kids. Like, that's going to be the whole thing. But it was like, oh, let's wait a little while to have kids. And then it just kept being like 2 years, 2 years, 2 years. And then all of a sudden it was like, I don't know if we really want kids. And she's like stepping into being an entrepreneur. And then seeing her really step into a peer role with me. That was like, okay. And so we got over the transition pretty fast.
Because there's
we
some ego stuff in there too.
Of course.
Right.
And so you have to have rules. And so one of my rules is your partner should always feel better about themselves when they're around you than when they're not. So I'm like, I have to empower her. I want her to become the person she wants to become. And we need to like sort of equalize and figure out what that is. And we're very clear about defining roles. So whoever's going to play whatever role, fine, doesn't matter. But say out loud whose role is what. So we co-founded Impact Theory, but who's going to be the CEO? Who, if we're arguing and we're at loggerheads, who's going to make the decision? And so we had to state out loud.
I bet you won.
100. I wasn't even winning.
Right.
It was like, look, we both have a certain skill set.
True skill set. Yep.
We need to be honest about what I'm good at and what you're good at. And if you can move forward knowing that I will try never to need to make a decision without like us agreeing, I will try always to convince you. I will try one. You often right. have the better idea. And whenever you have the better idea, we're going to go with your right. idea. Like I'm very good at recognizing that. But when we are at loggerheads where you think you have the best idea and I think I have the best idea, my vote will win every single time. And are you okay with that? Now, here's what makes my wife fucking special. She doesn't just say that. She actually lives it. And so she will try to convince me. No question. She will put her heart and soul into it. But when we get to the point where it's like, I disagree, but I commit, she flips the switch, she commits, and she's all in. And you wouldn't know that 45 seconds ago, right. she was like vehemently opposed to
yeah.
it. She is ninja level at that stuff.
She is. That's amazing to me. So how did you, I mean, like that's when I first had Lisa on the Sexuality Podcast, I was like, whoa, like the way that you guys communicate, because people often say, oh, you should treat your relationship like a business. But in a way, you should at least have your boundaries, the roles set up. There should be an org chart.
Yeah.
of sorts.
I mean, we have talked a lot about like, okay, what's my personality type? So I'm a very type A alpha type. She is very comfortable as somebody who nurtures and supports. And so if you look at the, we saw this documentary on wolves and it's since sort of been debunked and people have kind of called it out, but it's so powerful as an analogy, I'm going to keep using it. So in a wolf pack, the alpha isn't necessarily the biggest and the strongest. The alpha is the decision maker. The beta often is bigger and stronger. And the beta goes, look, I'm not the right one to be making all these decisions, but I will fuck anybody up who tries to mess with the alpha. Okay. And so I was like, that's really our dynamic. Look, I have the vision. I will execute. I will get us there. And she trusts in that and has been ride or die from day one.
Right.
And understands that her, where she really shines, like her natural skill set, what she gravitates towards is being in that role to facilitate that, like making it happen, whatever the hell it takes, like whether it's clearing a path and just going in and right. like being logistical, or whether it's, you know, nurturing the staff, like right. whatever.
Right. It really is a really impressive kind of magical connection that you guys have. But now that we only have a few minutes left, we got to get into your sex life.
Let's
I need to know specifically, and I'm not going to get into too many, but like what did it change? As you saw her like change from being the housewife, turning into something else, you know, how has your sex life evolved over the years?
That's interesting. The only, so it definitely did not change as she stepped into a peer role. So that is, and sexually is probably where our roles go to their sort of most natural of I am more dominant, more aggressive, and she is receptive to that. You know, she's not like the aggressor like that, which is a dynamic that I think we both prefer and are very yeah. comfortable there and very traditional in that way. But she knows exactly what she wants, and she will tell you and speak up, and she is not bashful in any way, right. shape, or form. She is incredibly sexy and sexual, and
right.
yeah, she's an amazing communicator. She's going to get hers. There's no like,
right.
you
so
know, like, oh,
problem.
As long as it was good for you, it's
right.
fine.
Like, no,
she's that's not,
like not that.
Been a
no,
problem from the beginning.
That's not her.
Like she is very
And I heard
good.
You guys liked Foria. It was the weed lube.
Oh, yeah. I was like, yeah. Foria, what the hell?
Foria.
Dude, yeah, that stuff's rad. Like she
right?
really.
Yeah, she liked it.
I would say more than liked it, it's been important for her. So,
oh, I'm so glad. I
yeah.
got to bring her more.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I always bring sex
well,
toys.
We,
you guys invite me to your house, I bring you sex toys. Just saying.
Not a bad invite.
I do. It is not a bad invite.
Hey. Yeah.
Because I'm a good time, but then I show up with toys.
Nice.
Exactly. How about that, Tom? Okay, so the other thing was, I want to hear, I was just going to say, we have a minute, about, oh, so if you guys sexually, so let's just say this. Do you think the same communication skills, like, do you feel like you guys have had to talk about sex in this way too? Like challenges around sex? Do you feel like...
It's always come pretty natural to us, but we have had endless conversations. Like, there's nothing more fun than for us to get in like a little corner of a restaurant somewhere to have some drinks. And then I will literally show up with a list of the craziest questions you can imagine and be like, what about this? How would you feel about that? And by doing that, like just mining the deepest recesses of each other's fantasies with no judgment, being like, whoa, that would be fun for you.
See, that's it. So you ask questions.
You can't imagine how many questions. There was one time, I think, on an anniversary trip, I showed up with like 78 questions.
There are lists of questions that can predict success in couples, help couples get intimate really quickly, like a book of 100 questions or something. Yes. Like that's, we need to do it. So that is such a great example of how you guys have probably kept it interesting.
Yes.
Because you're learning more, you're asking questions. God, I love all of this. Do you think that it's possible, since you're all about acquiring skills, do you think that it is possible for anybody to learn the skills, to change their mindset if they want to become a better communicator, to open up their heart, to become have a stronger mindset, to become a better man? Is there a case where you're like, no, I don't think they could learn that skill?
It is quite literally a biological fact that anyone can do that. Like literally, and I know if we had more time, I could actually explain the biology, but yes, anyone.
Anyone could do it. So for many of our listeners right now, if they're with someone, it's just the fact, and they've tried to talk to them. It's not that they can't, they won't. They have to decide on their own.
Yeah, and look, there could be a lot of baggage around that. It could be a lot of unwinding. But since we're running out of time, I will say this. Get a professional therapist. Do MDMA with your partner. It will change every fucking thing. I haven't done it, full disclosure, but the studies are so clear on this. Grab your partner. Do MDMA. All in like a license setting.
In a license setting.
But yes.
Okay.
Transformative.
Good. Tom, you got to come back. Tom Bilyeu, thank you for being here. Everyone can find you at Impact Theory at Tom Bilyeu on Instagram and everywhere. It's Sex with Emily. Thanks to my awesome team, Ken, Kristen, Elisa, Michelle, producer Jamie, and Michael. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com.